Some people have noticed, but I'm missing a tooth. years of sweets has finally gotten to me, and so that will be corrected soon. But yeah, if I sound weird, that's probably one of the reasons why. Now, Janet and I, we love sports. We like sports very much, I should say. We pretty much follow all major sports. NFL, NBA, MLB, World Series right now, NCAA March Madness, tennis, and of course the Olympics. Heck, we even started following horse racing because we liked the movie Secretariat so much. We haven't gone to golf yet. I don't know if we'll ever get there. But we like sports. But if you like sports, like me, then you know this phrase, right? It doesn't matter how you begin. It only matters how you finish. There have been teams and players that have started out great, such as last year, Golden State Warriors. They broke the regular season record by winning 73 games out of 82. But they lost the NBA championship to the Cavaliers. And so they will not be remembered as one of the greatest teams ever because how they ended was not how they began. Several years ago, some of you fondly remember that the New England Patriots went 16-0, perfect season, but they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. And so, again, that's not going to go down in history as one of the greatest teams ever. They began greatly, perfectly, but how they ended is not how they began. And so we all understand that it's not how we begin. It's how we end that truly matters. And so in Christian life, that mantra also applies. How does a Christian life begin? How does it begin? God starts it. It begins with faith. It doesn't begin with our hard work, our goodness, our willingness to read the Bible or do religious things. No, it begins by God through faith. And that is also how it must end. But there are people that think, well, we begin with faith, but after that, we have to keep it going through our own effort, through our own hard work, through our own goodness. So what is faith? Faith, in its essence, is simply receiving. It is receiving what God has done for us. He gave us his son to save us, and all who receive him, who would believe on him and trust him will be saved. That is faith. It is act of receiving. However, after receiving the faith, some people think, well, now I'm going to complete it. God started it, I'm going to complete it, right? So it's kind of like a teamwork. God starts something awesome, something that I can't do, that's great, but now, through my own effort, I am going to earn this thing called salvation. So it is a teamwork. So in using the sports metaphor once again, God is like the superstar, like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or Russell Wilson, not so much right now this year, right? But he's a superstar, but he needs his supporting cast, right? Michael Jordan needed a Scottie Pippen, and LeBron James, needed a, what's his name, the guard, right? So we are like those people, the supporting cast. So he needs us. God needs us. God starts it. We finish it. Well, that's great and all in all areas of life, but it does not apply when it comes to spiritual life. God starts it. God must finish it. We start with faith, and we must end with faith and not with our self-effort. Way to keep our faith. Another way of saying it is simply to go from self-reliance to God-reliance. That's what it is. Okay? To go from self-reliance to God-reliance, because living by faith simply means that we are relying upon God. How do we get saved? We got saved by relying upon God, upon what God has done, believing, receiving what he has done, right? Relying upon God. And that is how we have to continue to live. That's what it means to live by faith, to continue to live, continue to rely upon, continue to depend upon God. And not, now God has given it to me, now I'm going to, through my own hard work, self-effort, I'm going to keep this salvation. No, it has to be a continual reliance upon God. Now, how do we practically do that? And that is the topic of today's message, because that's the topic of today's passage that Kiana or Kalaya read. Okay? Three things I want to share with you. Number one, how do we do that? How do we live in faith, live by faith? Number one, recognize the tendency to revert back to self-reliance. Number two, remember why we needed the cross daily. And number three, keep hearing the gospel. That's how we live by faith. So let's go one by one because they all come from the text. Number one, recognize, we need to first recognize a tendency in our heart to revert back to self-reliance. Paul says in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this, Paul says, Galatians, to the Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Duh, right? By hearing with faith. It's an obvious question. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So in other words, Paul is furious. Paul is upset. He is angry at the Galatians. Why? Because they started out great. They received the faith. They started out receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. So they received the sonship and daughtership, right? They become adopted into the family of God. So that was great. But now what they're trying to do is, now I am going to keep my salvation, or I'm going to add to that salvation to make sure that I am saved, the good works. I'm going to keep up with the law, such as getting circumcised. I'm going to get my children to get circumcised. And then I'm going to keep up with the dietary law, kosher. I'm not going to eat pork, even though really I'm a Gentile and I don't need to do that. But I want to make sure that I am saved. And so I am going to keep up with all the laws that the Jewish people would keep up with. Right? Observing the special days, for example, or associating only with ceremonially clean people because that's what the Old Testament teaches. So I'm going to keep up with all the laws in addition to receiving Jesus, right? So it's almost like, you know, I want to make sure that I go to heaven and I'm acceptable before God. So faith, that's great. Receiving, that's great. But I'm going to add to it my own work to make sure that God accepts me. And Paul is furious about that. No. It has to be all or nothing. It's either faith or nothing. You cannot add anything to it. You cannot add good works to the faith that God has given to you, because when you do, it messes up what faith is. It messes up your salvation. But let's think about that, you know, logically. You know, it seems like it's from a good heart that these Galatians are doing what they're doing, right? I mean, what's wrong with keeping up with the law? If your children came up to you, your teenage child came up to you and said, Mom, I decided to keep up with the law. I decided to abide by the law. I decided to live by, you know, to be a good American citizen by abide by all the laws and rules. What would you think? Awesome. That's great. Do that, right? That's what the Galatians are doing. We want to keep up with all the law, right? We want to go over and beyond what's required and do more. What's wrong with that? What's wrong is that they were becoming self-reliant. They were becoming self-reliant. Becoming saved means that we are becoming God-reliant. We are no longer relying upon our own wisdom, our own preference, our own goals and purposes, but relying upon God's. But when we decide that I am going to do all these things, I'm going to make myself good, I'm going to make myself approved before God, that I'm relying upon my own good works. That's going from God-reliance to self-reliance, which is exactly the opposite of where God wants us to go. Because if you think about it, what is the essence of sin? What is sin? Sin is not simply doing bad things. No, sin is relying upon ourselves to even do good things. Did you know that you could sin by doing bad things? Yes, we knew that. But you could sin by doing good things? Yes, you could sin by doing good things. How? By relying upon yourself, by drawing your identity from it, by thinking that you are somehow a valuable person or a worthy person because you're doing the good things. That's how the Pharisees were. And Jesus had major problems with the Pharisees. Why? Not because they were bad, but because they were good. But they were good relying upon themselves. So the essence of sin is self-reliance, self-dependence. And growing in faith simply means that we are going from self-reliance to God-reliance. But you know what? This is hard because in America, as Americans, from the time that we are born, we are taught what? We're taught self-reliance, right? Physically, we go from parent reliance to self-reliance. When you were a baby, you relied upon your parents for everything, right? You couldn't even feed yourself. You couldn't even poop, right? Well, you could poop, but I mean, you couldn't even wipe yourself after you poop. You relied on your parents for everything. So you're relying upon, depending upon somebody else. But you are growing, you're maturing, right? And how do you know you're maturing? You're not relying upon your parents for everything anymore. You can do things on your own. And finally, when you are out of the house, right, 18 years old, I mean, you're in trouble if you're 18 and you're still suckling on your mother's breast, right? You're breastfeeding. That's not cool. You should be doing things on your own when you're 18 years old. And that's a good thing. That's the sign that you're maturing because you're becoming self-reliant and not on parent reliance anymore. So that's how it works out in physical world. And so we think when it comes to Christianity, right? We think, we get confused when we say, well, the sign of maturity is that you depend on God more and more. You rely upon God more and more. But you're thinking, but I thought if we are becoming more mature, we should become independent, right? Because that's how it works in physical world. But no, in spiritual world, it's completely opposite. You see, in spiritual world, in our relationship with God, we started out self-reliant, right? In other words, we started out, when we are making decisions when we are not believers, when we are not Christians, we do not have God in mind when we are making decisions or when we are doing anything. We do not stop and think, I wonder what God would think about this. I wonder what God's will is in this. No. You do whatever will make you happy. You do whatever, you think about the pros and cons and whatever will give you the maximum joy. And God is not in it. In other words, you're completely relying upon yourself to make all the decisions, right? But God comes in one day, and then you go, oh, there is a being called God, and he wants to be my Lord. Wow, do I really want that? I kind of want to be my own Lord, but I made a mess of my life when I tried it. So, man, I think I'm going to give my life over to Christ. And God comes in, and now you're thinking, oh, I wonder God what. Every now and then you start thinking, well, I wonder what God will think about this. I wonder what the Bible says. And so I think I'm going to go talk to the pastor. What are you doing? Now you're relying upon God a little more and more and more, right? And then the sign of maturity is that you're now completely relying upon God for everything. Right? When you wake up, the first thing that goes through your mind is thank God. Thank you, Lord, that you kept me. Right? If it weren't for you, then I would have just died in my sleep. Give me strength today. Something happens, right? And you're praying to God. You're talking to God. What are you doing? You're becoming God-reliant. So you go from self-reliance to God-reliance. Right? Exactly the opposite of how the physical world goes. And that's what it means to live by faith, is to rely upon God, depend upon God more and more. Now, here's what happens, and here's how you know whether you're maturing or not. When you're a baby in Christ, again, you didn't make many decisions, right? Thought of Jesus or thought of God did not really occur to you. And even if you were not receiving the Word of God, and even if you're not praying and missed several weeks of church or Bible or what have you, you are okay, really. You felt okay. But as you become more mature, more dependent upon Christ, right, you miss even a day of Bible or day of prayer, you feel like something's missing. Right? You can't go on. You have to. You have to go to the Word of God. You have to talk to Him. That's how you know you're growing in Christ. The Galatians started out with faith, relying on Christ. But they began to listen to some Judaizers who were teaching them that if they want to become truly committed, if you want to make sure that your salvation is real, then you must do these good works. You must live by the law. And Paul says, absolutely not. It is faith alone, not faith and works, not faith and keeping up with the law, but faith alone. But our old Adamic nature, Adam's nature, pulls us back to work-based salvation over and over and over. It's just in us. It's in me. It's in you. You know, we keep wanting to draw our identity, significance, and value from what we do and not what Christ has done for us. Do you ever experience this? You know, you're having an otherwise pretty fine day. You're feeling pretty, okay about yourself. And then you go on Facebook. And then you see your friend's post. And your friend has a big rock, on her finger saying, "I'm getting married to Carrot Diamond. And guess what? I got a promotion at work too." Now, at this point, you should be extremely happy for her, shouldn't you? But are you? You're not. Because you are thinking about your pathetic, single, lonely life. And when is it going to be my turn? That's what you're thinking in your head. Right? And then what do you do after that? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out to the gym and I'm going to work out. I'm going to look pretty, right? I'm going to make myself feel better about myself. I might go back to school. I might get that degree finally and get a better job. I'm going to show her, right? And some dude's going to come up and then give me a 3-carat diamond and I'm going to show you. What are you doing? You're trying to draw your identity, your significance, your value from what? What you do, what you work up to. That if I do this, if I do that, if I earn this, if I have this, then people will respect me. You're working, right? Effort, your self-effort, self-reliance. But the gospel says what? Living by faith means what? No, that's not where your identity comes from. That's not where your significance value comes from. No, your value comes from the fact that you are a child of the King. You are the child of the King. Don't demean yourself by wanting to be the president of the United States. I want to be the child of the King of Kings who will never, ever die. Right, that's my identity. That's my worth. That's my value. Don't revert back to self-reliance. Keep living depending on God. Okay? So, living by faith means living, relying upon, and not reverting back to our old ways. Number two, living by faith means to remember why we needed the cross in the first place. And doing this daily, remembering the cross. Verse 1 says this, Paul, "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." Okay. Do you remember Galatians? Do you know why Jesus was crucified, the most horrible death any person can die? He's reminding them on purpose why Jesus had to die on the cross. You see, it would not do for them to sacrifice thousands upon thousands of animals to die in their stead for their sins. It would not do even for some Israelites to sacrifice their own sons and daughters because they felt so bad about their sins that they sacrificed their own sons and daughters, which God told them not to do. And God is saying, even that is not enough. Your sin is so horrendous, so egregious, that the only way that you can be cleansed of your sin is either you suffer for it forever in hell, or somebody like my son, who is perfect, dies in your place on a horrific place called the cross. That is the only way that you will become acceptable before me. And you underestimate how evil your sin is by telling me that you are going to work for it, that you are going to cleanse your life, that you are going to obey the law, and then I will accept you. You do not understand the depth of your sin. That's what Paul is saying. You know, that's like a person who just took the bullet to the chest and it went right through the heart. You know, those few seconds that he has to live. Him thinking, you know what? I just need a Band-Aid. I need to patch that up. I'll be fine. Absolutely not. You need a transplant, heart transplant, right at that moment. Right? And when these Galatians think that, you know, I just need to fix this, I just need to eat right, I just need to obey this law, then I'll become acceptable before God, they don't understand their condition. They don't understand the depth of their sin. Tim Keller has this great line. He said, "You're more sinful and flawed than you could ever dare imagine." You, me. We are more sinful and flawed than we could ever dare imagine. We all know, right, our skeletons. We all know our flaws. And we don't feel very good about it. Guess what? You're worse than that. If you saw how God saw you, truly, you're far, far worse than that. But he also says that you're also, at the same time, more loved than you could ever dare hope. So you are more sinful than you could ever dare imagine, but you are, at the same time, you're more loved than you could ever dare hope. But you know what? Unless you know the first, you won't know the second. In other words, unless you won't know that you are truly loved by God, you won't know the depth of God's love for you unless you know the first one, which is unless you know how evil and how egregious a sinner you are. The more in depth you realize the first one, more in depth that you see how sinful you are, the greater appreciation and love you will have and you will feel from God. Now, many of you are sitting here, right, thinking to yourself, you know, I've heard that from you, Pastor, and from other pastors as well, that we are sinners deserving of death and hell. But you know what? I'm not so sure that I'm really that bad. I know I'm a flawed individual. I know I've done a few things that I'm not, you know, proud. I wish I could do one over, but nothing that deserves death and hell forever, they weren't really that bad, really. But let me ask you, when you think that way, and sometimes I think that way too, right? Who are you comparing to? What standard are you using to think that you are really not that bad? Aren't you really looking around and comparing yourself to those people that are just immediately around you, right? And you think to yourself, you know what? They're really bad people, like Osama bin Laden, that's bad, right? That Sandy Hook elementary school killer that like just shot all the little kids. Now, they deserve death and hell, right? They deserve to fry in hell forever. But man, compared to those people, I'm really okay. But let me ask you, who told you that your standard is the people that are immediately around you? Who told you that? No one. You made it yourself. You simply assumed it. Because you don't want to compare yourself to Mother Teresa, for example. Why don't you? Right? You don't want to compare yourself to Nelson Mandela, right? Who was imprisoned for what he believed for many, many years, but you decide to compare to the people that are about the same as you. That's wickedness. That's evil. You know the SS guards, the Nazi guards that killed thousands and thousands of people? You know how they justify themselves? When they went to the Nuremberg trial for being war criminals? You know what they basically said to the people? And this is in front of the people, the Jewish people whose children, whose babies were you know, their limbs were ripped and they were shot like point blank, right? Children, babies, little babies. These were monsters. And the Jewish people were looking at these monsters right in front of them. And you know what these people said? These guards? Well, we simply got the order from the higher up. We were just following orders, right? No remorse, nothing. But you know what was really scary, especially to the Jewish people, as we're watching the trial? They said that they were horrified to realize that these monsters didn't look like monsters. That they look like their accountant. They look like a baker down the street from where they live now. They look like this kindly neighbor that they talk with every day. Without their hat, without their pistols, right? Without their Nazi German uniform, they just look like any old person just walking down the street. They didn't look like monsters. Yet they did these heinous things. And here was a scary thought. Here's a scary thought. If these people, normal-looking people that listen to classical music, you know, that had doctorate degrees and many, you know, smartest people, if these people are capable of doing these things and they're just normal people like us, what about us? Am I capable of doing such a thing? That was the most horrifying thought to these Jewish people. Has that thought ever occurred to you? As you jeer somebody, another scandal, I can't believe he did that, right? Another sexual harassment, you know, another cheating scandal. Has it ever occurred to you? I'm no different. I'm no better. I'm perfectly capable, and maybe I will do the same thing one day. The depth of our sin is incalculable. If we could see ourselves as God sees us, the only thing that can cleanse that is the blood of his son. Not us. I'm just going to do better. Really, this time I'm going to keep up with the law. No. No. We need the cross. And we need a reminder of the cross daily. My prayer is that God will convict you and me of how great sinners we are, so that we can see how great a Savior Jesus is. Our church is different in this regard from a lot of the churches that are in America right now. They try to make you feel okay about yourself, self-esteem, right? They won't ever tell you you are sinners. They don't even talk about sin, death, or hell. But I think they're doing them a disservice, because unless we realize how great sinners we are, we won't know how loving God is. Amazing grace. Right? How sweet the sound. How do you know? That saved a wretch like me. Unless you know yourself to be a wretch, you won't know how amazing God's grace is. That's why in our church, as one, that we preach death and hell and sin so that your joy will be maximized. I want you to be happiest, be the happiest you can be with God in you, who saved you, who loves you in spite of yourself. Not because of yourself, but in spite of yourself, that Christ died for you. Reminder of the cross daily. So, number one, don't revert back to self-reliance. Number two, living by faith means to remember the cross. And lastly, number three, keep hearing the gospel. We must keep hearing the gospel to live by faith. Now, verses 2 and 5 repeat the same phrase. Verse 2 says this: did you receive the Spirit by the work of the law or by hearing with faith? And then verse 5 says the exact same thing again. He says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you works miracles among you by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So he's juxtaposing two phrases. One is working by the law. The other is hearing by faith. So one is self-reliance, working hard, right? The other is God-reliance. And so it's telling us basically how to live by faith. If one is the opposite of the other, one is self-reliance, working with the law, right, working by the law, then what is the other? What is the opposite? How do we live by faith? Hearing with faith. And that is how our faith grows, by hearing the gospel over and over and over, right? Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Where does faith come from, class? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing what? Hearing the word of Christ. Okay? And where do we hear the word of Christ? We hear the word of Christ in such a place like this one, on Sunday worship service. We hear the word of Christ in our community groups. We hear the word of Christ when we meet one-on-one with our Christian friends at Starbucks, right, and encouraging one another. We definitely hear the word of Christ when we open up the Bible and we are reading the word of Christ, right? And that is why we urge you, that is why we ask you to strive for these things. Do not neglect meeting together, right? I know that there's a Seahawks game going on right now, but you know what? I think this is more important. Let's come. Let's hear the word of Christ so that our faith continues to grow, so that we do not become self-reliant, but we will continue to become God-reliant, right? But those of you who are thinking, right, should be asking this question. But Pastor, I thought we're not supposed to make any kind of effort in Christianity, right? We're not supposed to do any kind of work. But isn't coming to church work, right? Isn't like trying to go Friday night? I mean, that's work. On Friday, you just want to stay home and chill and go, you know, watch a movie. But man, I got to go to church on Friday. That's work. But you said, I thought you said we are not saved by work. So we're not supposed to do any kind of works. But now you're telling us you got to come to church and you got to go to Friday night and you got to come to community group and you got to read the Bible and all of that. A lot of that is work. Contradiction. No, it's not. There is a pharisaical, legalistic type of work. And then there is the good kind of gospel-producing, okay, God-reliant type of work. But here's the confusing part. They could be the same thing. Work itself could be the same thing. In other words, you could come to church pharisaically, right? Trying to earn your salvation. And some of us are here. If I go to church, if I make it there, maybe like the whole year, God's going to be pleased with me. He's going to bless me, right? He's going to accept me. That's pharisaical. That's bad kind of work. But some of you, when I need God. I need to hear the word of God. I want to depend on him. I want to know this God more thoroughly, and so that's why I go to church. That's good kind of work. How do you distinguish the two? It's this. Earning versus faith working out in love. Earning, you're trying to earn God's love. You're trying to earn God's salvation. By doing works, that's bad kind of work. However, faith working out in love. I love God. I can't believe he did that. Wow. When I'm in God's presence, I feel peace. I want that joy again. So I'm going to go to church. I'm going to make myself. I'm going to strive really hard to be there. Because I need the word of God. Because I want to love him more. That's good kind of work. Because that's faith working out in love. So let me ask you, the things that you're doing, do the things that will make you continue to want Jesus. That's good kind of work. Do the things that will make you continue to want Jesus more than anything else. It could be reading the Bible, right? It could be coming to church. Signing up for a community group, or simply taking a walk in the park and talking to God. I do that many times. It's striving. It's putting an effort, putting in work to keep ourselves relying on God and finding rest in him. And some of us have to really hard to find our rest in God. I know it's like oxymoronic, right? You have to fight to find rest. You have to fight to rest. Like, rest is just resting, right? Don't fight, just rest. But some of us have to fight really hard to rest in God. Why? Because we want to revert back to our self-reliance. But I feel better for myself if I work really hard, if I'm doing something, if I'm producing, accomplishing, right? And you got to fight that urge. No. That's not my identity. Nope. I'm going to just rest in God. I'm going to read the word of God. I'm going to receive. Let me illustrate and I'm done. How this works out in my own life, right? I have what I call a Martha syndrome. Martha syndrome. It's not a disease. Well, it might be. Martha from the Bible, who was a sister, older sister of Mary, Martha and Mary. And Jesus came to visit them. And you know, many of you know this story. Martha is the one who is a busybody. She's a busy bee, right? She's trying to make everything work. And Jesus is comfortable and make food. Like, Mary, where are you? Do this, do that, right? She's like frantic. But Mary, what is she doing? She's just sitting there, listening to Jesus. And so Martha gets upset at Mary. Mary, don't you see her? Like, come help me here. And then Jesus listens to this and says to Martha, Martha, what Mary's doing is better than what you're doing. I'd rather have her receive from me than have you give to me. That is such a revelation. You know what? Worship is not primarily giving to God. I know you heard that I said that too. Worship is like us giving ourselves to God. No. Before that, you have to receive. Gospel is really receive. What are you doing right now? You're receiving, aren't you? Right. God is speaking through me. You're receiving. That has to come first before we serve. That's what Mary was doing. She was sitting there listening to Jesus. Martha was busy, right? Like, I need to do this. I need to do that. Oh, where's the food? Where's the drink? Come on, let's go, right? And goes, no, be like Mary. I have that Martha syndrome. I feel good about myself when I'm doing things, right? So last Thursday, I had jury duty, and so I had the whole day off. And I went to the court, and then they said, you're dismissed because they did a plea bargain and all of that, so you don't need, you're not needed anymore. So I had a whole day, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And, I've been praying for, like, one day of rest because I haven't taken a single day of rest ever since the school started, right, for more than a month. And so I'm sitting there at Starbucks, like, I have the whole day. It's, like, 9 o'clock in the morning. What in the world do I do? I'm going to rest. Finally, this is, like, prayer, thank you, I'm going to rest. And you know what the first thing hit my head was? I'm going to get ahead. I'm going to work on my sermon for next week. That way I'm a whole full week ahead, right? And I'm going to do all these things that I haven't done, in like, you know, that I needed to do for the ministry. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, no. No. You're a Martha. I want you to be a Mary. Sit there. Right? Sit there. Read a good book. Listen to a good music. But God, I want to be efficient. I want to be effective. I want to use this time for you, right? God said, no. You're being self-reliant. Rely on me. Receive from me before you give. I said, okay. Right? Okay. I had to fight. I had to fight to rest. Those of you who are like me, who are workaholics, right? You feel good about yourself, especially men. We tend to be like this, that you draw your identity, right? Your value, worth from your work. You have to work, and that's when you feel good. We need to lay it down sometimes, right? And we need to receive from God. That's resting in. That's living by faith, not by self-reliance, but on God reliance, relying, depending on God. Now, some of other ones in here need to do exactly the opposite. All you do is sit and rest. That's all you do. You know, you need to get off of your butts and actually do the work of the ministry that God has given you to do, right? You do need to make some decisions and strive, you know. I am going to do this because I want more of what Pastor Hong is talking about, right? I want this love that he's talking about. I want this joy. I don't understand it. I don't get it. But if I do these things that I may get it, then I will do these things, right? I will come to church more often. I will make an effort. I will make it an absolute even. Unless something really bad happens, I'm going to be there because I want to receive this word. I want to live by faith. I want to live a supernatural life and not just this 3 score years and be gone and then be like everybody else, right, on earth. I want that. And so you do need to start working, some of you. Others of us, we just need to lay down more, right, and rest as we have our faith grow in God. So don't revert back to your self-reliance. Remember the cross daily and keep hearing the gospel. Okay, let's pray.